And I want to encourage you, and I have a slide at the end on where these tools are available, free and online. It's not an onerous instrument. You can download the entire standards and the assessment instrument online. I think there's 70-something questions over 10 essential services. I also have no relevant commercial interest to report. So one of the things I want to emphasize is it's one improvement at a time. So if you assess your agency, you can start anywhere you like. It doesn't mandate what you have to do. You choose, and there are sets of criteria online that you can use to help you decide where to start. But I will guarantee that no matter where you start, it will lead to an improvement somewhere else. So these were people who volunteered their results. Chatham County, North Carolina. They identified monitoring health status as one of the things they needed to improve. They decided to start with a specific program, and they said, well, let's start with our on-site wastewater system program. We know we don't monitor our data very well there, and we know that our older systems are the worst. We probably have a lot of failing systems. Let's start with two mobile home parks. We'll start and send them a letter that we're coming out to do an inspection. And what they found when they went out there are all of these other things that happened. And this, again, started because they used the tool to assess their whole department. They ended up having to work across their department with other public health department staff. When they went out to talk to people, they found a lot of other environmental health issues that they wouldn't have known about otherwise. They found that these people indeed had failing systems, and they were able to give them information on how to get assistance through this statewide program, so they helped their community that way. Some of the things that came up were that there were a lot of mosquito breeding sites, there were animals that hadn't been vaccinated. So just by starting one place, they learned about all 10 environmental health services. They started engaging other people outside of their agency. They got a lot of information out of it that their decision makers that were then able to support them in their programs. And they think long term, in addition to improving the failing septic systems, they're going to reduce vector-borne disease because the community now knows how to reduce those mosquito breeding sites. They've increased the pet vaccination, and they've talked face-to-face with the community about what other environmental health things they're concerned about. DeSoto County, Florida, they decided that they were weakest in number 9. They decided that they didn't have a regular and formal process to measure satisfaction. And you'll see through all of these that you might do it once in a while, but if you don't have a system to do each of the 10, then there's opportunity for you to improve. So they decided to do a survey. They met with the people to make sure they had the right questions from their health department leadership. Then they surveyed the regulated community and then used the results to design an ongoing regular customer satisfaction survey and use those results to improve their services. There's a lot encapsulated in this, but the point is that they took one thread, developed it. Now they do it regularly in a system, and I'm sure that that's a questionnaire that they could share with anybody who wanted that same questionnaire. So one of the benefits we're finding is that you share the work so we don't have to reinvent things. It's also used by tribes, and Indian Health Service has used the 10 essential services as well and has used this tool. So in the Albuquerque area, which is a 3-state area, they realized number 1, again, they were weak. So they developed a protocol and a plan for analyzing and reporting environmental health data, and then they used that to see what their trends were and to guide their program priorities. They also realized they were weak in number 9, the evaluating environmental health services. So they not only developed the guideline on how to do evaluations, but a schedule for periodically doing them, and then conducted the assessments, and they used the results regularly. This is a county health department in Maryland. Number 1, again, was their weakest, so you see the trend that we are seeing here. They ended up realizing that their whole data system wasn't strong at all. They didn't even have a good collection system. So they selected a new vendor. They now have a whole new system. They also went through a process with their staff on what key indicators you would collect. There's a whole system on that. What do you go about collecting? And then they formed a data users group with other counties. So already they have a partnership going that supports one another, but also shares data with one another, and that started just from doing this, using this tool. They also realized they needed to mobilize their community partnerships, specifically their sister agencies. So they started having routine meetings as a result of using this instrument. They figured out who did what and developed protocols for operations there and coordination. And one of the key issues that they'd had was the Clean Air Act was passed at that time and mandated implementation without giving anybody resources. Because they had this ready-built partnership, they were able to share that with no new resources and meet the requirements of that act with their partners. Phoenix Indian Health Service, their gap was number two. They didn't have a really good system for diagnosing environmental health problems, illnesses, hazards. They looked out at other agencies, got some sample protocols, decided which ones they were going to do, and then they implemented it district-wide. And if you're familiar with Indian Health Service, you have a lot of people very spread out, handling very big areas, and just unable to get to all the problems. They used one tool. They gave everybody the same tool. It made their lives so much easier to have a common tool to use. They also had a weakness in mobilizing partnerships. They decided to use PACE-EH. They identified some tribal communities that might be interested. They selected one of those, went through the whole process that Julia mentioned, and then were able to share the priorities with the tribal council. And you know that as a result of that, that community is much more aware of its environmental health issues and has a much better trust relationship with its Indian Health Service representative as a result. So this is what people say, that when you invite others, whether it's your own staff or the other people in the public health department or your regulated community or citizens to participate, they become more aware of environmental health program issues and maybe more importantly, what an environmental health agency should be able to provide to you. So by asking those questions, they say, gee, you don't have a good data system. What can we do to support you to get one? So they become your allies in that. These are actual quotes from these agencies. It's created a synergy for us that seems to be almost self-perpetuating. As soon as we take advantage of one opportunity to improve, it seems another presents itself and it keeps the cycle going. I put this slide in just to show how this works with the accreditation standard. Our standard number 8, it's develop a competent workforce. We have 12 measures that specifies what you can do to ensure you have a competent workforce. The accreditation board calls that domain 8. They have 7 measures, very similar, that require evidence showing that you have a system to recruit, to develop, to maintain your an excellent staff and to retain them. If you have prepared doing these voluntary low-cost standards, you will be much more ready when accreditation comes to your community. As I said, it can be applied to a system or a program. If they're very technical people don't understand the systems language, you can start with your food program or your vector program, those questions will walk them through it. You can use it to orient your staff. You can educate the public, your board of health, about what an ideal program ought to be able to do. And then I didn't mention this, but some of the agencies have used this to apply successfully for grants. There was one in Michigan that did a profile of their community, and when a national grant came along, they had it ready to go. They said, we know what our data is showing us, we know what our people's health problems are, they applied and got this grant. So, engages the community, creates new partnerships. So I really encourage you to try it. Call me or email me if you'd like to get started on it, just to give you moral support if anything else. It's right there on that website. In addition to the standards and the assessment tool, you'll also find other tools, and NEHA has a free training workshop online. You click on that, you can get the actual training on how to use the standards. The National Public Health Performance site has a lot of additional tools, like the performance improvement that Julia mentioned earlier. They've already been out there 10 years, I think. They have lots of hands-on tools to help you do this. So that's what I wanted to present, and I'd love to hear what your experience is, what you're worried about, what you're hoping to do, what you have done, and any of our speakers would love to join in. So. Who's thinking about this? Who's done something similar? What questions do you have about getting started? Yes?
I did a quality assurance assessment for Family Health International, and what I found that in asking some broad questions and almost doing them in 3 different levels of complexity, it got a lot of people started just using, asking the simple questions, do you have protocols and procedures? Are they approved by the Ministry of Health? Are you doing this? That they started to move toward improvement. And I was wondering, with yours, in them choosing one area to work on, is the advantage that they're interested in that area, but does that leave the other areas?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear. They assess all 10. And then they go through a discussion process, as you would with a community, on so we can see that we're weak in several areas. Where would we start? And you might say, well, 1 and 9 are kind of related. If we do a better job collecting data, then we'll have some way to evaluate. So let's start over here. And I developed a list of criteria for deciding where to start, and it's very place specific. Maybe your public health officials have a burning issue, and so politically you're going to start with that because you know they're looking at it. Maybe you have the expertise to start somewhere, and it's going to be easier for you just to start there. Or maybe you have a lot of staff engagement on that issue, but you will sort out where to start and your timeline. I did want to say something about the international, because I have worked with some colleagues in England and spoke about this in Canada this year at an international Federation of Environmental Health meeting. There is a lot of interest specifically in these environmental health performance standards, because most countries have been working on certification and credentialing of the workforce, but have not had anything that looks broadly at the environmental health program or the system, and they were very intrigued by the fact that this gives them another viewpoint, and I was able to show them how all of that credentialing and staff competencies goes right in with this, that will fit right into number 8, a competent workforce. And that to have a competent workforce, they have to be able to do all 10. Your staff needs to know something about collecting their data in a way that's usable for analysis. They have to know how to communicate with the public. So they're going to be using all 10, and you need to develop them to have the capacity, the competencies for all 10. So it was interesting. Their fear was, well, our agencies, maybe we're all too dissimilar. I don't know that standards would work. And I thought, that's the same argument in the US. You have a little bitty health department that might have 3 people, or one environmental health officer that has 5 counties, but this can still work. You can start however small or however huge, it can work. Yes. Not yet. They're still using it to self-assess. I think when OMB approves it and blesses it, then there can be much more robust data gathering and analysis. And we're just so anxious for that to happen, but it's happening anyway. And there are informal ways like this for people to share their information. But it will be great when we're finally able to delve into it. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Other comments? Joy, do you want to? Joy's worked in environmental health at the county level in Iowa, 99 counties. Yeah, but I do think this is complementary. And one of the things that always comes up is kind of assessment, burnout, and involvement. And that's why it's important to, this is kind of a gentler approach, it's still important for agencies to think about the bigger approach and the accreditation if they want to go there, but this is an easier way to get in and to get involvement in environmental health staff who sometimes are not as familiar as other public health staff are with this language and the 10 essential services. But once you start working with them, the jargon fear goes away and they think, oh, I see how this works. So in my food program, do I have a system for collecting food data, and do I regularly analyze it, and what trends am I seeing, and am I sharing that on a regular basis with people, and what parts of that would I educate the public about, and what am I doing to evaluate it? It will all apply. That's a really good point. And likewise, so when I was at the university, we were contracted with the state of New Mexico to do the National Public Health Performance Standards Assessment, both at the state level and the county level. And there would be 50 people, 100 people at these meetings to do these assessments for 2 days. And at first, the environmental health people were assigned to table number 6, and they were going to talk about enforcement and regulation. So there was a two-way education process that happened where the environmental health people realized, oh, I'm not just enforcement, I also collect data, educate, diagnose, and the public health larger community said, oh, they're not just enforcement. Yeah, they need to be talking to us about our data system. And okay, if we're going to do partnerships, they have to be there. So it went both ways. And I think we've succeeded now in sort of bursting environmental health out of the 6 pigeonhole. But it did happen at first. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and it's so important. And how many people and how many of us have just hired somebody and put them right to work? You're the inspector and go out in the field and we'll train you out there. And but we never say, you know what, you're part of a public health agency. We're a public health agency, environmental health. And, you know, I want you to be thinking about your data, and I want you to be thinking about this, and yes, you're going to inspect that restaurant, but I need you to be, and if you don't know how to evaluate, let us help you develop that competency. And so it broadens their mind about what they do. It's very, very good. Others? Yes?
Just real quick. A great deal of my career has been in evaluating programs. In USAID usually funds 5-year programs. External midterm evaluation, and then a more mixed final evaluation. Is that part of the process in the environmental health group?
At the CDC level or in the field, you mean, for these?
Either projects that are funded by CDC or CDC itself, that it's integrated as it on a almost calendar time frame. Because I'm going to Kenya this week to do the midterm evaluation of a project. The donor has funded it. They're up and running.
Oh, okay.
Halfway. So we do the evaluation.
It's not mandated at this point. If you go voluntary, it could be interesting legal to actually manage.
Yeah. It's been mandated for many years. It went soft for a while. Evaluations were very popular, but now there's a major.
There is. Yeah. You're welcome. Justin, did you want to add anything? Justin's been supporting this and analyzing some things. And
I think there may be one other update that would be useful for the group. We've been working with NAGIO Group up in agreement to build and really kind of enhance the toolkit. So earlier this year, we had a work group meeting. We brought in 12 folks from primarily local level environmental health, and got a good idea of what kind of tools would be useful to help facilitate the process. And, we ended up with some really descriptive ideas and some really good feedback from the group. And we're in the process now, through NHO's facilitation of this process in the work groups, developing tools within 3 categories, pre-assessment, assessment, and the post-assessment phases. So look for those hopefully within the next year or so.
Great. Well, excellent. We're at 6:00, so I don't want to hold you, but we'd be happy to stay after and talk to you one-on-one about any concerns you have or questions, or encourage you to get started on any of these. And I want to thank our speakers again, Dr. Buchanan and Dr. Bender. Thank you for being here.